injection last yesterday.
Oh,
so
that's
I'm gonna go to the clinic after we leave.
Hang on a second.
that's always a little frustrating. Did you travel anywhere? What did you go to?
No, we just had a home for the camping and stuff.
That's cool. Where'd you go camping at?
No camping stuff. Just putting up signs, things like that.
Oh, campaign stuff.
Campaign,
I got you.
Yeah.
So you're running for the election now, or are you helping someone else?
Yeah, this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now this will be what, your second term?
Yeah.
Knockwood.
I mean, to me, it's easy to live without that. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, you'll
be able
to live without that great day.
Well, it was great to get the raise. You know, we got the raise in 2014.
Yeah.
So going from 4 to about 12.
Okay.
About 5 to 12.
So it's big deal.
Yeah,
just up $5
per
hour.
About
what I'm making.
The pay would be okay if it wasn't for all the additional heartaches that I wouldn't think are typical for my business. For that.
I got you.
Maybe they are, but I worked a lot of companies up in Maryland, across the state, and then never thought this place would be that way.
Okay.
Of course, I was never actually in the hospital.
Gotcha. So what did you do with the campaigns in Maryland? You were working on them, but you weren't
running? Yeah, I was working on them. I ran for a couple of things. I lost about 12 votes one time while I was in college.
What office were you running for there?
The city council.
Okay. So where in Maryland were you?
Crossford.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so that's the part of Maryland people forget about, right? Up there in the mountains?
Maryland is a different part of the state.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, you wouldn't even associate with Baltimore. It's that little piece of Maryland that's up in the mountains.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty,
huh? Yeah, it is.
Not so much during the winter, but...
I mean, we might have a week or two up there.
Did you ski up there?
No.
Are you the hibernator?
Walk. I used to have a dog. Ex-girlfriend kept him, but he was just a bike. It was nice to have walk through. It was nice. I like driving.
Right.
I really like driving around. I used to have a Mustang. I'd drive that and draw all the
time. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Who would buy a Mustang?
we're on our fifth Mustang right now. So we like Mustangs.
Yeah.
We have owned five now. It's the fifth one that we've had.
Collector. Got like a 67 GT 350.
Nah, it's all newer ones.
All these. Yeah. Got that 1.7 1961, wasn't it?
I can't afford a new one.
They're
all just jacked up. By now we'll record a truck.
They hold their value, man. They're hard to find.
I got an older Tundra, an 06 Tundra. I want to get rid of it just because I don't, got 90,000 miles on an 06 and got the big V8 and it runs great and I'm paid for it. I'm going to go replace it for $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for a new truck.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy it. Two of those and I have a house.
I had a Tacoma that I bought new and traded in 3 years later and got as much for the trade as when I bought it new.
Ridiculous,
crazy. So, obviously, you probably know some of what we want to talk about. So I'm at the FBI, he's with FDLE, and we've been digging into some of the issues that have gone on down your way. So I'm going to ask you about a few people, and if you can tell me kind of your impression of them, what your interactions with them have been. And just, we don't suspect you of anything, but we think you might be in a position of access. We might see some things or heard some things. And then we're going to disclose some things to you towards the end of this. I think we got some things about a minute ago. So first of all, what do you know about Jose Aguilar?
First way, I'm not too happy about it.
Okay, can you expand on that?
He just never rubbed me the right way.
Yeah.
And, I can tell you that there's been a lot of tough conversations had with him.
Okay.
One of them is that I approached the former chief to ask him, who is this guy?
At Reagan?
Because I knew that he was close to date. And I said, he's sitting there trying to tell me to lay off these guys because I had a lot of questions. I like to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like to be interrogated.
Mm-hmm.
And And so, you know, he would, you know, basically try to, you know, tell me to lay off, and, you know, he's going to help me with my re-election.
Oh, yeah. So they're switching the Pepsi.
That's fine.
I have strawberry lemonade, raspberry tea, peppermint powder, Mountain Dew.
I'm gonna do. I think I'm gonna do just unsweet tea.
Unsweet?
Yeah.
Any citrus?
Lemon
or lime?
Let me
see one,
please.
You want some cheese sticks you want, Sean? Yeah. Are you guys wanting anything?
Yeah, I'll take care of it. Yeah.
Let's get some.
Can we get some mozzarella sticks to munch on, please?
I've got a
sandwich. And so I just never, you know, it just didn't rub me right, but at the same time I was trying to figure out what was going on.
You got
players, and I'm new to the thing, I'm just trying to figure out who these people are.
Okay.
And I've never been, yeah, I've been to Boston before, so I've never been a big fundraiser, so I figured out how to talk to them. And I've always told my days before that, you know, always give everybody an audience. And that was kind of his thing. Remember, I was shortly around his career.
Okay.
So I gave that, and it just became, I suspected. I really didn't feel right about it.
Okay.
And so I asked the chief, and the chief basically, you know, came back and said, you know, first he said, well, yeah, we kind of knew what you guys were doing.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, but he should have watched my back, because he's asked me to do things, and I know that I'm studying them because I'm not fully doing what they want me to do.
Okay, can you expand on what type of things he asked you to do?
Not questioning.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what pulled out. So they want me to lay off a graduate. That was pretty
clear. Jose told you not to question the actions of the city manager.
Yeah, and to leave him alone, because I was trying to, I didn't feel that we brought in the right crew.
Okay, but as a
staff,
but as a...
What I told Greg was, we had, after I realized everything that shook down, I realized who was who and how they were connected, and all of them went back to one council. It's very clear now. It's exactly what happened.
And who is that?
I had to say it.
Yeah,
Calvin.
Okay.
I mean, there's no doubt that they're all connected to him. And it's funny, I mean, that's how I see it.
That's fine. You know,
and,
we're getting your perspective.
And so, anyhow, I said, look, I gave Greg a chance. I said, you know, I was really good for that. We have to have somebody with a different background. I didn't want to regurgitate what a lot of...
With all of
us? Yeah, me and Berlin.
And the weather, I bet you.
Amber, by the sake of the silver alert we got him right here.
and there was a question about how they brought in certain other members of staff, but I don't think they're involved in that way. But the for instance, we wiped out, we wiped out our Parks and Rec. But I think most of the, I have a feeling based on going into the campaign, pretty much everybody agreed with that, but I don't think the Fred, like, those people are actually professionals in what they did. And so they rebrought in Fred Poppy from the county, and Fred brought in a team. But there was just, the only question that I really ever had there is, you know, how women felt about it, some of them, which I don't know if that's a, I don't know the possibility of that, and that's all a workforce, harassment type situation. And so, but I said, look, you're following these guys, and some are qualified, some aren't. Those are the four that said, and I said, you want to prove me that you can really do this? Get rid of two of them and put actual professionals in there. Because I wasn't happy if they got rid of Chad Schultz. Chad, it doesn't make any sense to me. Chad Schultz was a former deputy city manager. When we got rid of Sue, he became the de facto interim, which made sense. I think he was under the impression at first that he was being considered, and I told him that I was going to consider him. I said, I don't know what everybody else is doing. I think everybody else.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
That's your mother both.
Okay.
Thank you.
That took a long time. It was like 3 minutes.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Crazy.
Man and a half, all I need.
There right you go.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yep.
So, now I kind of felt that maybe the rest of them. Clean house, and
the previous deputy you were...
Oh, the deputy came out. Well, it didn't make any sense, but he came as the interim.
Yeah.
And then he demanded a contract. Then I think he realized that maybe he wasn't being fully considered by the ref. And I always told him to all wait for rules, because there's always questions, what are you going to do? And my stance is always, if you need to do a full search, it takes the best person. And I think I was naive in how that really worked out, politically.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I got politically outmaneuvered, essentially. But anyhow, but that was always my position, and so, but I think he got the win that nobody else was in that. I think he got the win that there's a fix there.
Okay.
And then, and he even said something that I agree, and he said, so then he demanded a contract. And I'm like, well, why are you so worried about a contract? I mean, interims don't get a contract, and this is a great opportunity for you to show what you can do for 5-6 months. I mean, this is great for your resume, even if the next guy doesn't want you, you're padding, it's a great opportunity, and I told him that. But then he wanted a severance package in there. And I'm like, wait a second, we didn't even have a severance package for the last city manager, and he wanted an interim. It made no sense. Basically, he wanted the ability to keep himself as the DCM.
Sure.
The new person. But yet, whenever we brought Brad in, and didn't take advantage of any of that, he walked away from tens of thousands of dollars, and that never made any sense to me. And the only thing that I've ever seen is that they threatened them somehow.
Okay.
Or either they came in charge and said, look, you leave quietly, we'll get you a job somewhere else. One way or the other.
Right.
Somebody did something. Somebody intervened. Now, I have no clue what or how, but that was always my perspective on it.
So tell me more about Dave. Do you think Dave's the type of person that would ever go around threatening people?
I know there's a lot of people afraid of him.
Okay. You fall in that category?
I think generally I blew him off. I mean, I've got him pretty pissed off a couple times in private. And I never, I'm kind of like, I just walk away. I don't really care. Because I'm telling you how I feel. And that's how I am. There did come a time whenever I think that maybe, again, I was being naive and not realizing, like maybe I was being underestimating what I'm dealing with.
Right.
And other folks, I think other folks started saying, well, they were afraid of this and that. And I'm like, maybe I should watch it. Because if I'm interfering with something bigger than me, then maybe I should be watching my back. And I did. That's part of why, like I said, I approached the chief about him and did the chief. Unfortunately, and I have a lot of faith in the chief, and I still like to think very well of him, but unfortunately, I told him, I said, well, we run a background. Just let me know. And he said, well, I can't do that unless the case, I have a case or whatever. But then there's legally, then there's what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And I know about the situation where people have done nothing to do. know, but I was like, okay, I can respect that. Mm-hmm. I said, but he said, because if he did do it, then he had to report it up to Greg. I said, that's all right, I don't want you to report to Greg, because I know if it goes to Greg, it's going to go to Dave, it's going to go right back to Joe, and I'm like, this is, I'm trying to protect myself, I'm not trying to
create more heat.
I'm not trying to, I've been sitting here trying to be very quiet and calm with everything they've said, even though I don't always do what they want. Just trying to assess the situation. And so I certainly wasn't trying to agitate. And so anyhow, but it was about a couple weeks later, Dave approaches me and basically...
I know you guys said you had business.
Yeah.
Are we
going to
go for a burger or anything?
No.
Okay.
Flag
me down, maybe?
We'll be good.
Okay.
We'll grab one. And so, but it was a couple weeks later, and I'm getting on Dave about something. I think it was probably something to actually do with Stuart at the time, because Stuart was reporting to him, and whatever it was, I was getting on a hard time about something. And he basically throws in there haphazardly, by the way, if you need anything, you know, with the police department, you let me know. Then I'm like, what are you talking about? Basically, can't put shoes on top of him. I'm like, now I can't. At that point, I'm like, holy crap, I don't feel like I can trust anybody.
Yeah.
Right. He was the only one that was good. Because I'm sitting there starting to figure out what's wrong with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the chief, I got both chiefs told me, but the chief would have told me, look, I'm going to do this, or the chief told me at the beginning, I have the rest of anything that said to me by a counselor that if you report it up, just so you know before we have that, I could respect and understand, and I understand his position, but he didn't say any of those things.
But you as a city councilman going to him and saying, hey, I've got a question or concern.
And I'm confused because I want to watch this is with my family.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And anyhow, that happened. Then Joe, you know, basically, that's when, you know, he started getting aggressive with me as far as, like, I'm going to wipe you out. But he kept it political. He kind of kept it political. It wasn't a direct threat, although you could see the way he walked in certain places, the way he interacted with me. It's this way. I had other friends who have nothing. They only loosely know my character didn't tell me or my feelings, and they watched him walk into a 16 form. And those 16 to how he behaved, and they're like, well, we've got, I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about.
Now,
and see him approach. And it's just kind of, he kind of gave that shoulder that he knew he was going to wipe me out and kind of disrespect.
Do you remember where you were when he said that?
Oh, no. I know that one time was at CASTA, that's the Brevard Caribbean Association of Sports, something like that. They have an office located on Palm Bay Road, and they were hosting a forum in 16. So it's probably August, September. I mean, that's on the calendar. Somebody has that on the calendar somewhere. That's easy to find. And spoke afterwards that I was just saying hi, because I just wanted to see how he interacted with him. He said a few things, choice words, and actually traced. And then Calvin was standing right there in the earshot. And Calvin came over to me afterwards and basically just kind of saying, well, I want to say that, I don't know if that's exactly what he said.
But he
certainly was... he was certainly showing his disdain for me, and I'm like, okay, well, I just kind of blew it off, he made a comment about how the fact that that's why he goes and sleeps in his, $5,000 bed or something like that, whatever. Basically, I don't have any. He kind of made something about undercutting Mark there. I'm like, okay, whatever. And Calvin, which is kind of how he behaves. He's kind of like, oh, well, I'm so sorry he did that. That type of thing. He was kind of...
We're both sides there. And
because before we completely went off the edge, I guess. And,
let me ask you this. Why would Joe say that to you? And why would he come up and just go, I have such disdain for you?
Why would he have so much disdain for me? The only thing I know is because I continue to question this and answer here.
Okay.
And Dave, I thought Dave should be, well, I always said that was so good, if you just get two of these, figure out who your best two outlets were.
Right.
And replace the other two with the best ones for a couple of years. That's why I told him at the very beginning, he promised me he wasn't going to hire Dave.
Right.
Lean promised me. That was like, if you want me to give you a shot, I don't really like any of these other candidates, nobody's meeting the mold. No, I just felt like the fix was at me. I was ready to quit. I just didn't. I just was not happy with my situation. You know, I think I was very much wanting to replace new leadership, and I wanted a good direction, and I was convinced that, these people were going to go in the same direction, and then they totally went off the deep end on the back end out of it. Lesson learned. Never to be able to fire somebody, know what you're going to do to replace them, right? How to replace them, and especially when it comes to this political process. And the only thing I can think is that I was just continuously questioned. I mean, other than that,
did you ever articulate those views to Jose, or was just relayed?
Oh yeah. I would tell him the same, because he would want to talk to me about it, and then essentially the feeling was that Dave sent him to talk to me, because Dave's been talking to me. It's kind of like one person couldn't talk to me, let's send somebody else to get a different approach.
Did Jose ever offer you anything to try to persuade your opinion? Okay.
I think it was a clear indication of it.
Yeah. Can you expand on that?
Well, we had a situation, and we were sitting in a situation like this, and it's just another general discussion. Hey, how's everything been going? Hey, Greg's trying to do his best, that type of thing. And I'm like, well, whatever my issue was. And, it became this thing that they knew that I was interested in getting my list. It wasn't like it was probably an answer up in Maryland. And that, because I was so frustrated with how things were going here, and I'm so tied with, I can't leave my kid. I'm locked up on our 9-to-5, and I really wanted to be a city hall. So I was looking to find ways to transition back to real estate somewhere where I could be more flexible and just come in every once in a while and check up on them, make sure they're doing their job. And it became a big push that they wanted me to go and get my license. And basically the promise was that, oh, you don't even need to do it, your wife can do this quick push. And the other person was still the community.
There's Stuart and Aguilar
they
were together at the same time, and they're both encouraging you
to get a real estate license, and that they were going to have the deal set up for me. All I got to do is sign the contract. They just wanted me, but of course, it was very loosely, but at the same time, the whole conversation was talking about me, how Greg's going to try to do his best and let him do his job.
So how did you interpret that to be?
I interpreted it to be quick, right?
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't explicit, but I interpreted like what the, like, and I said no.
Right.
And that's why I never did, to this day, because I even walked away, I'm like, holy crap, even if I get my license, these guys are going to, somehow it's going to make it look bad. You know what I mean? Somehow I'm going to get, either they're going to try to keep, it's already hard enough to try to get your name ID up and that type of thing. Well, it takes a couple years on some real estate. Either they're going to try to kill every deal that I touch, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or they're going to go around and come back with more things like this, and they're probably back, if they're doing this, then they're probably doing stuff that's just going to get in trouble. And I didn't like it.
Do you feel like you'd be in debt to them that this is a way of sitting there saying that if you go on off and get your real estate license, we'll help you out, and in turn we want you to leave?
Everybody would be happy. Yeah. So everybody would be happy.
Did he say those words?
I wish I had a tape. I mean, I left that meeting, and I've been waiting for it. That was
about a year and a half ago, right?
It would have been, this is 18, but almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been waiting for 2 years, and I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I left that meeting, like, holy crap, if only I had a fire. Because here's the kicker. When we walked outside, well, Joe said, well, wait a second. And then Sue kind of wrangles me and says, hey, wait here a second. And Joe's like, I'm going to use the bathroom. Like, what's he doing? He said something. He said something to Stuart. And I only thought Stuart was being funny, but maybe it's more serious than not. And I certainly find him to be very united at this point. But he he's like, oh, well, Joe just never wants to be seen walked in. It doesn't look like he's walked out together. I bet he's just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And, because he just talks a lot. And so we go outside, just doing our waiting, and Joe comes out. Joe's like, here, come here, I want to show you something. And we went to the back of the truck, and at the time he was driving wherever, so he was driving the Hyundai. He was driving his own pickup truck.
Same.
I want to say it was the extended cab with the door open backwards. He's like, I just want to show you something. I take care of my friends, and he showed a huge bag of money. And he was just talking to cash. And I'm just thinking, holy
shit. Let's take a step back on that, so I can make sure I have this correct. This was outside of City Hall? Or
no, this is outside of... I believe it was Longhorn that were at that.
Longhorn, okay.
They're there with my small bird.
Okay. And do you know about the sign plan and what's going on?
I want to say it was around January of that year.
January 16th?
And that was right after all that happened when I contacted the chief. Because I'm like, what the hell? I guess I'm going too far. You know, going from somebody who's just a political backer trying to convince me that things are good to... forgive me one second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Hey, sweetheart. What's up? I will. I might. Right now, man. Okay. All right, buddy. Okay. That's whenever I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Nothing was said about it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I
don't know what the point of doing that is.
Did he offer you anything?
I don't think I left with the pressure he was offering me at that time. I think what he was trying to say is, look, you do the right thing, you're going to be taken care of. And I
didn't say.
I can't remember the exact words.
That's fine.
I honestly can't. It was just, all I did was left an affiliate to Scott.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. That like I said, my next thing is, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, it's funny, because after that, I did go and talk to somebody, and because I was looking for part of that gear truck, like, what am I really dealing with?
Right.
And then former cop, and basically I told him what happened with the chief, because after that happened with the chief, I'm like, what do I do? Like, I can't even talk to him without
right.
Him and Dave are like, look, like, I don't know what to do. And his basic thing was, no, not to worry about it. You know, basically I was told that that's not how we're going to climb. They're not going to hurt anybody anymore. It's not cheaper to buy people off. And that's more of the MO now. And I shouldn't really worry too about it, because I'll make sure I get cameras on my cars. A private investigator. He works a real route one. Chris. I got to find his name. He works with Jeff. The lawyer, Jeff Gollum,
yeah.
The lawyer,
yeah.
I think you guys might see him on the other end, but anyhow, he worked out of his office, and Chris, I think his last name, he's a former police officer.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of his advice to me, because I was just thinking, that we go look at this guy, figure out what's going on, what should I do, and so anyhow, his basic thing is that, I don't want the chief to do anything. Maybe ask for the chief to give me a report so I can keep it. So if anything does happen to me,
right,
as a file, give it to somebody I trust,
mm-hmm.
and then contact the LE. And I'm like, well, quite frankly, then it's like, if anything happens again, contact the LE, but that the LE won't be corrupted. Because I was a little bit concerned about, quite frankly, I was concerned about Dave's connection with the sheriff. Because
mm-hmm.
that was what I kind of thought next. Because I know, but I'm like, I don't know how to get ahead of that.
Mm-hmm.
I got
no point. Applebee's, we're here all the time.
Yeah. Sorry. All I did was back off and said, I'm just going to try to get rid of all this stuff. Because I don't know, and if I can't do anything about it, then I just kind of threw my hands up, and eventually they'll... eventually they'll mess up, and you guys, and then it was about a year later, and you guys came with me after all, I think, whenever I heard that was, then I was like, at least everybody else is on the notice now,
mm-hmm.
to be on the best behavior, so then I kind of, got a little bit more aggressive publicly, I guess, with my vehicle too, I guess. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, before it was like,
yeah, it does
trying to be
a pattern change with your boldness.
But you know, that boldness I have keeping it behind the scenes. And at the very beginning, I always told him, I said, look, this is me being your friend. I'm telling you to your face.
Yeah.
That's what I used to always tell Dave, especially because you say you're not being loyal. I said, I was never loyal to you. I was loyal to the idea that we all said we're going to push for.
Right.
This was never about getting you a job or getting married and being mayor, about me getting whatever it is you guys want to think you're going to give me. And mm-hmm. not, no.
Right. Never. Real estate license, real estate contracts, cash, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, he was always thinking, like, oh, you're going to be a state rep and all this. I said, I don't want to be one. I said, my family sacrificed and we made a decision that we're going to run for these reasons. And so I'm dedicated to the issues.
Okay.
You guys have the ones that jumped out of the issues.
Let me ask you this. When you talk about the collective thought that you guys all had about the direction you wanted to go in, what did that consist of?
Well, here's what happened. Chris Keen called me December of 13. She just filed for re-election.
Okay.
And so
you
she's
say Christine was talking about your sponsor.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's saying, hey, look, I filed, but I'm not going to run. It's just that we always get too many conservatives in there. We always end up with a bunch of Republicans. They split the vote, and then the one, either the union back candidate or the Democrat, because they get a little more organized. And we need to stop this process. I'm going to walk the bill.
Okay.
And I want you to consider running. And I'm like,
and how'd you know her?
The reason I knew her is that, because so rewind, I became a permanent resident in 2011, 2012, and I didn't do anything political. I'd always been somewhat involved in something before I moved here. And so I was just trying to reestablish myself in some type of career. And eventually I came into teaching instead of doing real estate. 2012, I decided, okay, I'm here a little while, I'm kind of bored, but I want to do something to help win the candidate. So I didn't like Romney. I wanted to help the new the best challenger. And his power was amazing. So I looked that up. I ended up getting in contact with Val Davis. I'm sure you guys know. Then, absolutely crazy.
pretty consistent.
But he's like, if he's working on your side, he's like your worst friend. You know what I mean? He's like, even if he's going in the same direction,
he's overzealous.
He doesn't know how to, he doesn't know how to play it. And then, but I met him. I didn't know him from anybody. I never just bumped out there hoping I was going a little fine waiting for Newt. And then I told him that I'd ran for city council previously. And he's like, oh, well, you should run for city council in Palm Bay. I'm like, I don't know about all that. This is a lot bigger city. And you know, I'm just kind of like, I don't know anybody. Just, that's crazy. Like 100,000 people. I've never
know six of them.
Right. Who am I? I'm nobody. I have no roots here. And so I said, but no, I would be interested in serving on something or board something. He said, oh, no, I'm great friends with Christina. And so he gave me her number. So I called her up. And I remember actually talking to her. I pulled over to the boat team down on Babcock, right south of Palm Bay Road. And I talked to her for like an hour and a half. Perfect. Like, we're right in line with what our ideology is and how we see things. And so she's like, hey, there's a board opening up for code enforcement, applies for it. I'll make sure that she gets the votes out there. All right. And so I did that. I got on that. I don't really talk to her a couple times between that. Oh, that's not true. So that was like beginning of 12. Then by the time we got to November, I was kind of getting involved and looking through the candidates' words. And Harry was kind of like, I didn't know whether he could win. But I met him, and I thought he was a good guy. I trusted him, and I said, I'll help you. I helped him a little bit at the very end. I came up to pull him the full day. I put some signs up and helped him pull a big game of small. I think I might give him $50, $25 check. I don't really ever give money, because I've never asked people for money, and I don't give people money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how I do that. My mm-hmm. campaign was very low budget. That's one of the hardest things for me to do. So I helped him a little bit. Then that night, they had a John Mazziotti walk that night. Kind of obvious, just whenever we got there. But he had a victory party type thing, and Harry's team was there, and Chris team, and like, a bunch of people were there. So that's kind of how I got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really ever talk to him too much. I didn't really talk to him all that next year until the end of the next 2013.
Okay.
And then Chris team called me, saying I should do this, and I called Harry and said, what do you think? He said, oh, yeah, I know she talked to me about it. I think it's a great idea. I think you'd be great. And I'm like, all right, you don't really know me that well, but that's why I ask questions, like, is your bench this shallow, or why is nobody running? Like, I'm trying to figure out what the catch is.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how is this kid,
about
28, 29, whatever, at that time, you know, how, with no, nothing here, and I have no money of my own, I'm not going to be taking, you know, raising much of money, like, how am I supposed to get elected? But then I started researching a little bit, and seeing that this is actually crazy how the budget works. So you count the races are for a city of our size.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I think, like, if me, I do have experience. Well, you guys can help me fundraise. I said, I can do everything. I think I'm confident of everything else in team fundraising. That's kind of how it all. Then we start having more. It started, you know, after that first 10 to 13, everything accelerated a little bit more. Then once we got into the summertime, so they're asking me, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if my wife's ready. She has no clue what she's getting herself into. She's a, you know, Puritan in today's world. No, they weren't even ready. My in-laws weren't even ready to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I'm like, well, if we're going to do it, why are we going to do it? And I can, so I started having, and the one thing that caught me is that I was serving on the board of the ad hoc advisory board, and we both were appointed by Harry. And I'd asked something very specific of the city manager. She came back in a very odd way. Now, I asked for incentive, and she gave me a disincentive. I wasn't very happy about that. But this
is too hard, then?
Yes, it is. And I haven't been too happy how she kind of handled some stuff when I was fighting the red light cameras. A little bit. Not at the time, actually, now thinking about it. Somewhere right before that, around the same time. And so, which now I look back upon, I don't hold her against her anymore. Now that I'm in the position, understanding the position she was probably in at the time. But, you know, there's a few things like that I'm like, she's just got to go. We got to get someone who actually wants to have a pro-growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after having conversations, I'm telling them that. And I'm like, look, if I'm going to run, this is going to be very important to me. Is this going to work? And I'm going to tell Dave that, tell Gary that.
Mm-hmm.
Christina kind of pushed herself out and pushed Dave in. I wouldn't have known Dave, but that's when the transition came. And I always thought that was weird. Why is Dave calling me? But I'm calling Christine, and Dave's calling me back. And I'm like, I didn't really know him. And anyhow, but I assume because I like Christine a lot, I have a lot of faith in her. Couldn't be completely bad, although there's times we have personality conflicts, but I always assume that's just, you know, he's military and
mm-hmm.
I'm always gone. So,
But did he become quasi-manager for you, or campaign manager, or what role did he take?
No, well, the idea was that they would help. Never was he really a manager. Well, Jeff, how much? They were kind of asking me questions. They were trying to figure out what I'm thinking so they could fight off of. That's exactly what happened. He was trying to figure out what my playbook is so that he could call plays afterwards. And I was very open because I trusted
mm-hmm.
everybody. And I said, look, I think $10,000 would be fine. You know, I think it's great. I said, if you can make $5,000, I can do my best to match you. I'm like, you're the one with the auto connections with Benigni Anderson and so forth, and sitting in the county commission. I said, if you can raise that money, then I'll do my best to raise it and match it. So that's what I was afraid of. I wouldn't have any money. I can do the work, and I would make my materials and so forth. I just didn't have any funds for it. And so anyhow, that was always kind of like, you know, he would help with that. So that was for a while. And then it got to May. So they asked me, I told them, I said, the other thing they wanted to handle was unions. And we have quite a high, our public safety gets very nice attention compared up to all other agencies. And so that was something Christine has followed historically, and that Harry was fighting that back in 2012. What happened, what I always understood their plan was, is that group, is that when John and Christine had fought already, and that they both were supporting Harry, so when Harry got on board, they could go back and fight him. Then Harry won, somewhat surprisingly, and then John lost. So it's like they still got stuck in the same position. And so now I'm like that new person that's going to be the third kicker, or at least if they can get both seats, and then we'll have three. So the idea was we need to take both seats. And so there was a question about who was going to run for where and whether I was really going to be committed, because I would never give them a full answer. I'm like, well, if we're going to do it, this is important to me. I'd have conversations, but it got to May, and the next thing you know, a young lady, in her 40s, I guess, 50s, Koba Springer, she got to the race.
Okay.
And just wanted to see, and then all of a sudden, maybe it won't be running anymore. And I'm like, like my arm, like, who's she? How do you know she's going to support anything? Like, I've just been spending months, like, praying over this and really thinking this through. What are my issues? What's my call? I finally got to the point where I got three things that I feel solid would make the city better and why it's worth it. And then you tell me, no.
Why go away.
Yeah. I'm like, that's all right, though. I'm like, that's fine. I kind of took it, that's fine. We'll see what happens. Because the issue wasn't that she got in the way. The issue was that was about the same time that Trey, I was talking about kind of talking to him. I met him on that board, and I was kind of chatting with him. I said, if I run, first of all, Dave, is he really going to help me? It wasn't it wasn't anything nefarious. It was kind of like, I kind of trust the guy, or is he really going to use me? No.
Right.
Not like things have worked out, but just in general. Just,
sure.
Is he true that he would help me? Will I really have a chance at winning? That type of thing. And so Trey's acting like a mentor now, right? And then next thing you know, his name is being floated about him running and me waiting. So they got this code on him. I'm like, what the hell just happened? I'm like, what's going on? And I know what it was. What my opinion was, they went to as many people as possible who thought might be interested in running, kind of promised to help them all, and then said, okay, if I'm going to help you, well, you're going to do X, Y, and Z down the line, and then see who's going to trust.
Dave's help always came with a price.
It always ended up, it seemed like something in the end. And I even told her, I remember talking to her, because what happened is that you fast forward, so from May to about August, it's qualifying week, right before qualifying week, or May was the only qualifying week, I'm like pissed off. I'm like, I don't trust Trey on a political level. I don't think he's really our ideology. I didn't understand why Christine would support him. Christine even told me that she didn't like him, that, he's not on the conservative wing that we are. And there's other reasons why she didn't like him. It's just personal stuff. But I'm sure plenty. But I'm like, why are you doing it? And the only thing she could ever answer me is that, well, he came out whenever the unions were, attacking my family and doing X, Y, and Z in 2010. He was hand-holding my side. And I said, no, I'm just going to tell him. I said, Christine, wait a second. I think I've been very committed and trusted. You understand where my thought process is. I've been very open with you guys. You don't think about it. If you were in 2010, I would have done the same thing. And she was like, oh, I don't know if he would. Maybe he would have, but he actually did. He was here. And it's like, basically, it was kind of like, you haven't been here long. I'm like, then why the hell were you begging?
why are they reaching out to me?
You're the first person to reach out to me. And so anyhow, but I'm like, okay, that's fine. I said, well, I guess everything's off. So at that point, I said, you know what? Hold this other one out of the way. This will make it harder for me to run there versus another challenger in a common specialty female. I don't really trust him anyway. I trust her more than him. I really don't know where she's coming from, but at least I think I know where he's coming from. I just didn't. I never completely like Rogers anyway, but not that I think at all, but I've met some good ones, but I just didn't trust. And so I said, you know what? Obviously, the deal's off the table where she's holding two for me, so I got in before she got out. But that caused a split thing. And they called me up. I can't think the physically threatening, but I pretty much probably any other person probably would have been a little bit scared the things that he said to me and cussing me out. Never he'd done that before. Everything had been everything was honey until that point. Even when we disagreed, it was still honey. That's still kind of like Jeff think about this stuff. And he just, like, I'm never going to get elected to anything. I'm not going to get support to anything. And he was just all pissed. And now Christine's going to have to run because you guys can't figure it out. And Christine called me up. She was pretty sweet. And, she told me that I need to. All we're doing is that we're running, we're just going to make it easier for the other person to win. And that she doesn't really want to run, but she will if she has to. And my response to her is like, I'd be happy. You stay in, I'll get out. basically, I'm like, I'd rather you run. But it was against what she wanted, and I know that I'm going to get off. And she's still talking to me about today. I know they told me after I changed my death system. She's still. That's whenever him and I were still kind of talking. It's kind of like I still, I severed it with her because she was just so disrespected that I didn't make the most. But I was like, you guys didn't do what you said. So what? To me, I'm going to stand my ground whenever I can. And that was kind of the progression of things.
That's the history of how you got
there. And then once they realized that, what happened is Hilda got out. Hilda got sick, and I started thinking about it, that if Trey Craig gets in here, he's definitely not going to win, but it's also, there's going to be no chance of progress in this seat. In other words, there's no way of getting anybody better in this seat. It's going to get worse, not better.
Okay.
I said, in the other seat, the same thing. If, even if I force him, if I stay in here, he goes over there, same thing's going to happen. If I stay where I'm at and he doesn't get in at all because he knows better, and I've already told him all the numbers, I broke down numbers for him and sat across from him at lunch and told him, this is what the deal is. I know what's going to happen. It's your choice. I'm already in.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't get in at all, I'm going to have everybody that was supposed to fill with my life, I can just piss them all off. Like, maybe I'm going to get it.
Right.
I started a little bit self-reflection. I started thinking about it. Well, and I started thinking about how
appreciate it.
Start thinking about how the situation goes. Like, if I stay where I'm at, he stays out, I win, I'm going to win this seat, and then what's going to happen to the other seat, and I'm going to be stuck up here 3-2, I don't want to do what she did for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I made that criticism through the whole thing. I said, if I'm running, you make sure there's another good person in agreement with that everything you guys said. Everything they told me was good. Everything he said we were going to do together, I mean, all their ideas, all my ideas, everything was good. And, which is basically just a conservative stuff. That's all. Yeah, that's all. Sum it up. And I said, but, if the other seat goes that way, I'm going to be back in a situation where I told him I don't want to be, I don't want to just replace Christine and be a no vote for 7 years. It's very advantageous if you want to move up the ladder, because she became, by being that kind of more senior voice of the opposition,
mm-hmm.
she built a certain reputation, now she's county commissioner.
Sure.
And I understand the moves made there.
Yeah.
I said, but I'm not interested in that. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I want to make the actual change. I'm going to invest my time. Otherwise, I'd rather be behind the scenes and help the people. And I've always said, I'd rather help. That's my personality. I don't really like being on spotlight. I don't know if you guys can tell when I'm talking.
Right.
Yeah, speaking. Usually, I don't know. It's just not my spot. I'm not the best speaker. But, or communicator of my thoughts.
Well, ultimately, what happened?
And so ultimately they came back around. So basically I jumped seats and I said, because she got out, I said, look, I'll go over there because I felt that if I lose, fine. Because the difference is between an open seat or running against the company. If I lose against the company, fine. I don't have any headaches.
Yeah.
I said, and if I win, then Calvin's likely to win his seat. And so I got everybody to promise me whenever I was going to jump that they're going to hold him accountable. He's going to, he's going to take the same stance that the rest of us, Harry and Christine and I have discussed. And so I said, okay, I'll jump seat, allow him in there. And I said, worst thing happens is I lose.
Right.
And then everybody kind of act like they support me.
Okay.
They didn't really support me. Like, for instance, I know Dave was supposed to knock on his whole precinct because he's done it a billion times.
It never happened.
And I did a regression of myself based on demographics. And it went against, it's the only precinct that went against the demographics because I pulled out my resources from there because he was supposed to do door to door. So I didn't do anything. Now I didn't knock anything. I didn't knock on George. So I knew it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, he even dragged his daughter. I never questioned because he dragged his daughter. But I said, well, Jackie and I did it. And I'm like, I'm not going to sit in front of your daughter, lie in front of your daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to make your daughter lie to me or call you a liar. Like,
yeah.
So,
but you know,
but he knows. He's conniving.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I'm like, but I threw it in the back.
Then you won that. So you guys ended up
in the end, I won.
Right.
In the end, I won by 100 votes.
So let me ask a question, because I know that we know that from the whole campaign contribution, is Nardi contributing any money to your campaign at all?
He helped helped raise the money.
Okay. How much did he raise?
A few $100.
What about Joe?
None that I'm aware of.
Joe never gave you any cash or anything.
Never gave me anything.
And we're not asking you to single you out as like the loan. We just have other people that.
No, Dave was the one. He's the one. He promised to raise $5,000. I want to say he maybe. After he probably contributed maybe $700. I've been working on my old thing for a while, but I don't know. And then the big thing too was that he was going to door knock, but he also said, and Christine told me too, that they were going to mail pieces. And I remember at that time I was nervous, because I'm like, I was nervous two sides. One, they're not going to do it at all. And that's one of the reasons I did my regression analysis after the campaign, because I was like, did they really do it? And then the second part is I told him, I said, if you're going to do that, you understand that all the pro, if you take my pieces and mail them, that's an in-kind contribution. And I'm like, you know, like, he's got to know that he's been doing so many times. But, you know, it's kind of like I had to basically call him back up another day and say, give me a figure.
Yeah.
But this is on you. You're the one that's doing the in-kind. You first tell me exactly.
You need to know how much it
is. And I don't remember what it was. I think it was like $89 or something like that. So $100 is what he told me. Now, did he do it? My guess, he probably didn't even, that's probably not even, probably didn't even actually do it. I mean, I don't have a receipt from him that he did it, but
much,
maybe
he
did.
How much did you raise in full when you were campaigning?
$3,900.
For
no
reason,
and
most
most of it was just me asking people that I worked with.
Okay.
I mean, if you go and look at those people, you'll see that none of those people are going to find anybody else's campaign contribution for it, because they're just...
Now, we have to ask a question with the week. I have reason to believe that other that Joe is like a big bag of cash kind of tricks. So that's why we asked.
Yeah.
So,
No. I didn't even know who Joe was at that time, but they didn't believe. I don't think they. My theory was always that my theory now looking back is put that way is that they got pissed off at me. They blew up at me after 15 off.
Mm-hmm.
That their thought was that they're going to let me lose. They're going to pretend to be my friend along the way, but then let me lose. And that way in 2016, I'll know better that I really need to have friends if I'm going to do this. And that's what I think they hope, but then in the end, I got a big surprise victory. And then that's why I got that that pure, I mean, I was purely excited because I won.
Yeah.
But he was, I think he had different reasons why he was really excited. And those were not things that, the only thing we had discussed before that is in May, right around the same time Bubba got in. That was the other thing that was strange about him. I met with Dave, was at a Andy Ziegler fundraiser. I didn't know who he was. I went to affiliate with him now. But I went to there. I never, again, I've never been to any fundraisers.
This
was
May of 15?
14. Before the election.
Okay.
Before I filed, and the loan for it. It was right around that time when I'm about to say, okay, I'm ready to do this, but then let's start running. And I'm really nervous. I think I was way over playing the campaign. And so I'm meeting with him, and he's had a few drinks. And usually he's in control of himself. And then, so actually, this is probably the first time where he got a little aggressive. The second time was whenever I jumped in 15, then he got belligerent. But the first time there, because he started asking me, well, hey, if we get rid of Sue Hahn, that's what I was telling everybody, okay, let's get rid of Jay Manders. And the next thing you know, he's saying, well, if we do that, you know, we need somebody who's strong, because we're going to have to make a certain values that you and Harry want, and blah, blah, blah. And he started talking about himself. And he's like, will you make me city manager? I'm like, and I kept trying.
Dave asking you?
Dave, and I tried to avoid the question. And I'm like, Dave, I said, look, when we get there, I'm going to look and see who's the best person. You know, I basically gave an answer like that three times. And then the next thing I know, he starts going like this in my pocket. He's like, I just want to know I've been burned before or something like that. I'm like,
so he physically checked to see if there were wires or something?
He was checking to see if I had any type of recording device. He said, I want a yes or no. Are you going to do it? I said, Dave, if you're going to make me answer, I'm no.
When do you think this was? What year?
This is May 14th. And I thought he was just drunk and stupid. Because after that, he never brought that back up to me again. After that happened, I talked to Harry about it, and Harry kind of blew it off. Oh no, we're not going to do that.
And he was not,
he's not
the,
qualified.
He was not
that.
The assistant manager.
No, he was working. No, he was still working for Andy Anderson.
That's why I thought it was 14.
This is 14. This is why I was elected. And I talked to Harry about it. I'm like, Harry, like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And Harry basically blew it off and made me like, I'm like, okay. And he was just drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've never seen that intoxicated like that, because I never really, that wasn't my norm.
Right.
You know, if I had a drink, I'd go to bed with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Right. I just went out to the Legion. That's really kind of where some of that happened. And anyhow, that was the thing. And then that happened. So he got a little upset, but everything was good after that. There was no problem. He's like, okay. You know, the next time I talked to him, I was like, that just, I'm like, man, something's wrong. I don't know if the military got to him or what. And
okay.
Everything was good for the rest of the summer because they had help. Next thing you know, they had held in there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a little bit strange. Then I'm like, okay. And I 99% sure Hilda got the same type of conversation.
And
while she won't completely admit it, I think that she basically was kind of that thing where she's like, I don't want to tell him no. You know, because who didn't tell him no? She was the most I think she got the same situation where she didn't want to tell him no either. And I think that might have been why she backed out.
So
I don't know for a fact.
What's
Hilda? Benet? Stringer, I believe. I believe Stringer is her maiden name.
And you had mentioned she got ill. Is she still around, or is she?
Yeah, I mean, I saw her. She worked for Health First doing something. I saw her at the Bavaria Health Alliance. We take our son down the road in Mountain Bar.
Okay.
Doing something. So I assume she is. And I talked to her, but she's like, she kind of for you guys. She knew that I had struggled, that I was upset with the management, but she didn't. There was nothing else that we knew about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I told her, look, I'm trying to keep these guys in check and just try to keep the city hall running the best that I can. And she kind of, she kind of felt for me that I'm the one that ended up being around there. I have to deal with these guys. Anyhow, that's a big question. I'm sorry. And
so
I think there's another question you were saying that I was trying to go down. But
yeah, so once you were in office, was there ever a specific vote where Gennardi or Jose tried to leverage you in going certain ways?
I think that one day was probably the best, closest to it. I always felt when I left from there, and one reason why I went to talk to the chief, I was trying to go talk to my instructor. If nothing was explicitly said, then what is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he showed me a big bag of bags. Yes, I think you guys probably know as well as I do. This is not a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean?
But all of these things together come out of the same. So that's what we're kind of digging into here. Now let me ask.
Is he gone, by the way?
No, we're checking in. So we've heard he's around, we've heard he's gone. I haven't seen him in a while.
I haven't seen him in a while, but I've told by other folks that they haven't seen him in a while. They thought he was gone.
We'll find out.
you guys are invested in safety, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
Let me ask you this. I've heard about the clubhouse on Canoga Street.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about this?
Through the cannon, it's crazy. I don't understand the whole setup. What I do know about it, I do know that the pole table was put there by Dave, and it became very clear later that pole table was property of the nonprofit.
Okay.
It never explained to me why Stewart was living in that location. But other than he didn't want to have to travel back to life.
Now you mentioned Stu was crazy. Can you expand on
that? Be candid. Sometimes we'll ask you a lot of questions we already know the answer.
I know. Because, you know, I was playing with the devil. You know what I mean? That's not the word I should say. I was like, you know, I got too close to that. That's how I felt.
All right.
But at first everything was good. It was like, oh, this is what we're going to do. You know, at first he had my ear, like, okay, finally one of the friends actually knows how government works. Hindsight, not so much. But at the time, it sounded really good for several months.
Okay.
But the thing that was always strange is he would talk about what other folks, but when he did approach me, said that he basically outed himself to me that he had about his background. And then he basically said that he was a FBI informant or whatever, or that's not like a consultant, is what he said. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, it's kind of hard to buy this. I think you're rats, which you are, but you were. You lived as one, which is fine. But you're not, like, you're trying to sell me a story, I think, because it became, he told me basically that he purposely came in after the rest of the bunch because they knew that the pool was going to make a big deal about Anderson, Dave, and you know, whoever else coming in and the firing. he didn't want to even mention that. So he kind of outed himself on some of that stuff. And then he'd always talk about crazy billing that other people did in the position he was in. And how they got billers to, I'm not billers, developers. I don't know, just trying to think of a good example of something he said. But he'd always have like schemes he'd talk about. But he'd always talk about, it wasn't like he's telling me he's going to do it, but he's talking about these bad people, this is how bad they are, this is how corrupt these people are, they did just this and that.
Such as?
I wish I could remember a good setup. I don't know. They were always
talking about your local
stuff,
or up in Daytona?
Just in the state, I think. I wish I could remember something. I mean, none of it's really relevant to me, because I don't think...
Now, as far...
I don't know if it was him just blabbing his mouth to say, look how smart I am, or if it was him blabbing his mouth to say, okay, let's see if Scott today would like some of these ideas. I don't know. I always thought he was just talking.
Yeah.
Right. And...
let me ask you something.
They certainly drink a lot more than I would.
Right.
And they certainly party a lot more than I would.
Anything beyond drinking going on?
Yeah. Okay.
And that's going to come up here in a few minutes.
And yeah, but
okay. So what type of drugs?
The only thing that I ever saw were cocaine and painkillers. No. I've seen Trey. I assume he has a prescription, like a or something like that. Mm-hmm. But something like nerve pills or whatever you want to call them. Can't say I've never seen any party drugs. But
now, did
the cocaine, I walked away.
Okay.
Well, basically that's whenever I think my relationship changed with him. Because...
Did you have painkillers and try something?
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to you to try to gain information, not to try to build a case against you. If we were, we would come at you in a completely different way, just trust me.
There's
method behind
what
we're
doing. I mean, that is true.
And did that get to be a problem at all for you?
I stopped. It was awful. I remember last time it was stuff in my pocket.
Okay.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing that for?
You stuffed it in your pocket.
Yeah. So two times. That's not completely true. There was also, he had like a gram of pot or something like that.
Okay.
And then he gave me some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember what type of pain it was?
I know that they weren't narcotics. They were, I want to say Tramadol.
Okay.
It's in my narcotic, I believe.
Okay.
Or whatever it's called.
All right. And so you think you took it twice or more than twice?
I took them from him twice, yeah.
And did you use them other times also, or was that the only time you ever used them?
I use them periodically at a long period of time.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, it wasn't like bending on or anything like that, but there were a couple other times where I ended up doing that.
And where were you getting them the other times?
Oh, for him. Oh, no, I wasn't getting them from anybody else. No.
So always from...
There was only those two times. Yeah, I wasn't getting them from anybody else, no.
You ever mention where he got them from?
The only thing that ever was mentioned is that there's a landowner... I'm going to screw it up. It's either Satori... Not the tour. It's the landowner that owned the let's not think about it, I'll remember. There's a landowner who owns property east of 95 at the new interchange. property off to Don's developments, whatever, people are developing it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of the father and son, and they had mentioned sometime about them owning a business that manufactured them, or maybe they were in the pharmaceutical business, something like that. That was something that was really like, I have no clue. What he did.
Now, as far as the cocaine use, who did you see using cocaine?
Pray and I wouldn't participate in that, but
I got you. So here is why I was asking about the drug, and here's why I was asking about if there were any specific votes for that they wanted to vote on. So, Jose and his Nardines were planning to set you up. So we intervened. So, they were going to plant drugs in your car, and rub drugs in your car, and then they were trying to get some virus and drugs or something to get some drugs. We intervened, we got the drugs, none of that happened.
He called me last night, by the way, which is the first time he's called me, David, which is really odd.
But you didn't tell anyone I called.
No,
I didn't.
I was worried about whether you
got no way.
I was like, I'm not even going to answer. No. I didn't even know who it was. I knew the number looked familiar. I think it's a house phone or something, but it wasn't saved in my contact.
Okay.
And yesterday was a high holy day for us. I keep Jewish holy days, but we keep them based on the sighting of the moon, which, in other words, you probably would have saw that it actually ended 2 days earlier for most Jews, but ours was yesterday. So anyhow, I didn't even answer it. And then afterwards, I kind of thought, what else are you call that?
How are we doing, gentlemen?
I think we are good for right now.
Well, they have me shipped over here to this side of the restaurant.
Okay.
I will gladly still provide.
Yeah.
If you need anything, I will drop you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're low maintenance, so we'll be...
No problem. We have a lot of business ones, and they will end up conquering areas, so we're used to it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a great night out.
Oh, I will. I'll be mingling around here still.
There you go.
So they were, they went through the steps of planting one plant drugs on you, two, they were going to wire up the clubhouse and try to catch you there. To the point at which they did research and purchasing cameras and stuff like that. So, what we want to do is nail them for that, but what I'm trying to figure out is if there was something specific that they wanted in return for you, why would they try to leverage you that bad?
Good job. I think, and that's why, and I knew, and I had that feeling because Stuart came at me hard, it felt like, that my husband and my dad went to control with the cocaine. And it was just something, I was like, something's wrong, and, it was definitely very odd.
What did you say when he came at you hard? What does that mean?
Like he wanted, all of a sudden, be really close with me. It just, he seemed hyper. He seemed extra hyper. I mean, he's already hyper, but he seemed extra hyper. And one thing that I found out was that they had another friend. I guess somebody trained me through John Maggiotti. He used to run casinos. Internet casinos.
Civic? Last name's not Bivix, is it?
I have no clue.
Okay. I know who you're talking about. Got his name is Rick.
Rick, yes.
Arcade Rick?
Yes. That's him.
Gotcha.
I don't really, I met him one time.
Okay.
And that's where they got to go. That's where.
You remember when this was and how many times did you go to?
Only one day. Only one. Because after that, whenever I wouldn't. When I went and do it, then it was just, they both looked at me like I was crazy.
How much were they doing?
I honestly don't know. That's the way it's okay, but to tell you, I don't know.
Were they putting a line down and doing it?
Yeah, they did a line. I mean, enough that I knew that they were hyped up, you know what I mean? And I know that Trey was wanting to do a $20 run. He was advertising to me that he had prostitutes on his phone, and how his whole thing to me was always that you have to be able to play three parts. That was his script advice to me. You have to play three parts. You have to be able to go to a pew, go to a boardroom, and go to the bar. And that was kind of what his mentorship was to me, which always kind of revolting, but, you know, I hung out to what the hell is this, like, how bad is he? And then he said something about fosters, and I'm like, did he really, like, why would he say that? He must not really understand me, and why would he think, because I've never done anything like that.
In a pew? A what?
And a pew, board? Boardroom, and the, pew, the boardroom, and the bar. That you have to be able to play each of those parts. And that's what makes it so hard to sit there and watch him. Whenever we're doing our invitations and things like that, or him quote scripture, you know, because I know that I'm a sinner and I make mistakes, but
yeah,
I still feel that I have a, you know, in the end, you know, I know that I should never been that close to them. I know I should never been there. The two things that I did, but when I got prayed again, whatever happens to me happens.
Did you ever see him?
He would talk about girls he picked off, or you'd say he had to run back to the bar to meet some girl, that type of thing. But I never saw him. He wanted, you know, he mentioned, he claimed that he had that the call girl to reach press him in Tallahassee for the mayor. You know, his whole thing was like, his whole innuendo was, and, you know, he likes to talk them out then. And I tried to get him to say as much, but they probably thought I was playing a wire at times, probably, but I was trying to figure out what the hell is he really talking about. And, you know, basically, you know, in case he said things like, oh, well, he likes twins, you know, that's all I can say is he likes twins. And I'm like, all right. And he's like, well, I got to take you up to Tallahassee. That was kind of, like, that's what he said. He'd do things like that. But he would say so many things. I mean, for a while there, was he doing it to see what I wanted and see if I'm interested? Was he doing it to make me think badly as the mayor? Was he doing it for both to see which one works?
Right.
And I always kind of came away with it that I really just made me think less of the mayor. Some of the things like that that he said.
Is this the mayor supporting?
Mm-hmm. But I have no reason. For me, when I look back on it,
no,
I don't
try and make it up for now.
I know. I think that the mayor, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the mayor seems to be in my own. That's after me sitting next to him. Now it's not me like doing his personal life. Or anything,
right.
But,
yeah.
But
you haven't personally seen anything that leads you to
think. I think he's. I was talking a lot more than that.
About Santiago.
There was a time where, you know, I've been to his house a couple of times, and we go to the pool, and really our foundation is our faith. You know, we don't, you know, like I keep the holy days, and, but we're both, you know, Christians and so forth. And that was when I looked up to him like a big brother. And quite frankly, watching him defend these guys the last, not just before knowing what you guys were doing last year, but just before that, disheartened. I say before a year ago, I was always like, he'll eventually see it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll eventually understand.
Mm-hmm.
He'll eventually like, he'll eventually have enough of these people because they're not the same character as us. You know, and I know that Harry's probably done things in his past too. Because I've opened up a little bit. He opened up to me, you know, but he didn't really open up too much. I don't think he's always kept a cover a little bit. But I always assume he's just like a big brother. He's just wiser. You know, he's 10 years older than I am. And that's what I love him for. I frankly, that's what I was, you know, Dave tried to provide a certain type of leadership. I wasn't around like that. I asked my father earlier. That's part of the reason why I moved down here. I just couldn't do it anymore. I first came down here, it was like, well, that's my father. It was just, you know, it was all the things that we needed to do together.
Yeah.
And it finally get to age and maturity for myself that I can appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
What
I lost my grandfather, who was about 30 when he died.
It's very difficult, but you know, Harry kind of provided me. I had a neighbor provide that. He died of cancer about a year ago, I think, too, which is kind of telling. But a really good Christian guy who, you know, I know that he had been through some tough times, but he was a good husband and everything that I want to do. And that's one who I thought was Harry about. I have no fear. I don't think that I would not suspect him of any drug use.
Mm-hmm.
I would not suspect him. I don't know him to live his life going to the bars, or like to carry bags around that.
Right.
privileged by someone in a wheelchair, which has always made it pure. The only incentive that I see that he has, and it's funny because I would defend him. I defend him over and over again, even when I was once felt what I thought about Dave and Greg, who would have known, and Trey and everybody else. I was like, he's a good guy, he's going to come out. Like, he'll, don't give him a break, let him figure it out. Maybe he's coming slower to realization, but I got, I always felt like, I got closer to these guys quicker than I should. I figured out real quick with it.
Right.
And that's kind of what I wanted to know, that, it's not bad at all. And, until I got to the point where I was like, I don't really want to know that bad. I'm not prepared for it. I think I thought I was a couple guys than what I am.
Right.
And so anyhow, I always said that I always defended him. I said he's just blind. I have no clue though. I told him, I told him some of the things. And I confided him because I had nobody else to go to. And I'm like you're. I told him that was with Joe, and his whole thing with Joe, I can't remember what all, I'll be honest with you, I can't remember exactly what details I told him or didn't tell him.
Yeah.
But I told him a good bit, and he's like, oh, don't worry about him, he's just, I don't think he's really anybody. I've been around, I grew up in Brooklyn, I saw really tough people, I know what bad guys look like, they don't come to you and ask you. They're just going to show up and you're not going to know it. And, he's basically not to be scared of him. That he's just being a bully and he's not really a tough guy.
What's your opinion of, what do you know about Trey other than the cocaine and the prostitutes?
I think if you look at voting habits, I don't really know anything. I know that he, my understanding is that he had a working relationship with the two landowners that down there next to Jeffries and the D.L. Horton project were trying to, I'm sure you guys kind of follow that a little bit. Those two landowners came to try to, want to rework the route of it and everything, and we had this big battle, because I know that there's a pressure between him and Ben. I know him and Ben Jeffries had some type of contract. Trey claims he wasn't paid. Ben claims he didn't ever get his product.
Right.
Which is kind of like my welcome to the basic of paratroopers. I kind of side with Ben more than I do with Trey. And I know that he also had, I know Dave had said, I don't have any access to this, that's all hearsay, but Dave had worked for the other two. At least one of them. I can't think of the guy's name. That's just Tori and the one Campos is, I think, the one that owned the
father and son.
That's the father and son that owned that land, the one that's dead. Steve said them.
I know who you're talking about.
That they were big co-heads or something like that. The other one is,
you can't remember the name, right? You've got Jeffries.
There's Jeffries Moal, maybe, is who you're talking about, but he's not involved with that. I know Moal, I found out last year, starting to look up more people, he got picked up prostitution, but, or solicitation. Anyhow, there's a piece of property, the Rolling Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling Meadows property. And I think that Dave had some type of contract with him lobbying for them sometime when he was working back when he was working with Andy. And my understanding is that Trey might have subcontracted all that. And that's always hard to watch. Like, even right now, I know Dave has a landscaping company. I said, he's not going to cut your front yard. So watch him somehow get a contract out. He's going to end up doing somebody's. He might not be on the bed. Same thing with Stu. Stu's getting work right now. How? How the hell is he getting work? I mean, he couldn't do his job right. He certainly doesn't look well as far as his legal reputation.
Do you know anything about a plan to build a shipyard that Joe and Cisnardi might have been involved in?
Shipyard?
Well, not a shipyard, a scrapyard. Metal.
I know I got pissed off because I told Harry after that meeting, I said, here's what happened. I didn't take a briefing from Greg. I've been a little bit frustrated. This realization that anytime I try to do something good, I'm trying to leverage a point where I think it's like somewhere where I can get other counselors on board. As soon as I tell Greg, I tell staff, one of them, they go back and kill it. Or they go back and lobby against it because they want to kill me. I know what it was, they want to kill me politically. I think at least that's how I interpret it. And so they're just making life hell for me because I made life hell for them. So it's just retribution on that level, which is fine. So I'm like, I'm just tired of it. I don't need to hear their BS. And I will find out the meeting. If I got questions at the meeting, they can answer it to the public. You know, it's kind of my thing. And so we go into that meeting, and I didn't catch it. But David Mulholland comes up. Because I didn't see, there's nothing on there that would say Joe Adams. Not a thing. And but David Mulholland gets up to speak about it, because evidently David Mulholland, my understanding is that David Mulholland had been negotiating with Joe to buy a piece of already industrial property. And then Joe didn't like the price. I think it was like $300,000 for the same like 9.7 acres. And he was about $300,000, which is probably close to the market rate. And then Joe said, screw that, I'll let Greg to get some help. Greg went back to Joe. So he went back to Joe. And Greg, he went to the city. He got the city. We were going to sell him excess piece of property for about 10 acres for about 30-some thousand. I want to say it was like $36,000-$35,000. So once it all came out, that's what we're doing. Otherwise, it looked mundane. It looked normal. This is what we're doing. And the Mulholland pointed out, the Mulholland said something like, something Mulholland did indicated, and Joe was sitting in the back, and kind of, something did indicate, and maybe said Joe. And he's like, and I know that I've had deals and worked with it, and this is just inside of the deal, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a second, what just happened? And I'm like, so then I start asking, then I ask the question, do you know who it is? And try to get that put on the record. And then Stu, I think, first gave a runaround, which he's good at, right? First he just gave, like, this LCC, or some type of business name is what he gave. Oh, it's a business name. I don't know who all the investors are. Right? That's where he starts with that. And then I start pinning it on Greg, because once I realized that it was definitely Joe, because something that Mel Allen said, I said, if it was Joe, you know. I mean, just a couple months before that, Joe was a candidate at that time. And this happened, he was still a candidate. That's why I gave the tour today. I did my own research into him after I talked to that private investigator. I'm like, validated my suspicions, and then I sort of threw it in. But there's no way I'm going to look at that. I don't think that's very bad enough the way it is. Just with general political stuff, so much of having somebody like that. I just didn't want that to happen. So I fed the information to Florida. Florida mentioned they went and got their own records. I told them to get their own records. I said, if you guys are really going to do it, you guys need to do research. I'm telling you this. Go to Massachusetts. And so I knew that. Right before that, I still have pictures saved somewhere where Greg was at a coffee with Joe, or have a cup of Joe with Joe, or something like that, with campaign gun. And I can't remember where. Maybe it was the Einstein Bagel or something like that, because...
Greg Link was there.
Greg Link was there.
Okay.
Function like that in the middle of the day. I mean, it's just unheard of. That's not what city managers do. That's not what proper before. No matter who it is. No matter whether you like them or not. And so... I know, I'm like, dude, you're at his campaign event. I know you're close to him. I know he's close to Dave. If we're selling a piece of property in Boston, you know about it, because he's close to about it. There's no way. So I asked Greg, and Greg denies. He denies. He's like, his answer was something like, I signed a bunch of these contracts. I don't know who they all are. And so anyhow, of course, I kept pushing that. And then after the meeting, I turned to everybody around me. I said, did they tell you who this was? Did you have a briefing today? Yeah. Did you have one more today? And I said, did they tell you about that Joe had a piece of thing up here? And all of them were like, they said, yeah. And I turned to Harry. I said, hey, I told you. That's a lie. I said, if you don't believe me, why don't trust any of these people around me? Because look at there. He just directly lied from the day. I said, but for what purpose? Why would he hide? Why wouldn't he just say the name and be done with it? And that's why I've always told them from the beginning. I said, even if I'm not with you, I'm still here to work with you guys as much as possible. If I ask a question, just give me the answer. And, you know, we can accept that we have different opinions on it or whatever, but just don't try to obfuscate that. And they, I'm like, and that sounds very frustrating, right? Because I asked everybody, the mayor, everybody got the same briefing. Everybody, so basically everybody's up there sitting, knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and nobody's saying a damn word. Now, this is before you guys, before you guys came out. Because I was kind of getting hot, then I kind of like, well, maybe I need a shot. But it became 6:00 I'm like, well, you know, one of the things in 6:00 I heated up, first I got real quiet. At the very beginning, that happened within 6:00 I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to stay later. Then I got a little scared. And then I did a bunch of stuff, and everything kind of came out like, I'll be okay. I'll be all right. Like, you don't have to be worried. And I was like, I just need to keep fighting, doing my job. And so then I got a little more feisty, but then I wasn't making any ground with my council. So it became in my head, well, the only thing that's going to solve this is changing council, which we're going to do in the fall. I just need to stop worrying about whether I'm fighting on council, worry about that. And that's why I was trying to help her out. But then in the end, Brian never talked to me. Of course, I find out that I couldn't believe that, because I told Brian not to trust it. Like, I basically told Brian that just not to trust any people that they're out to use it. So I think they'd be judging the same way with me, and that's what they have to do with you. And then, you know, at first he was like, oh, yeah, it was all good. And next thing you know, I just never hear from him. And the next thing you know, it's next 7 months later, and it's Charlie out there with his family campaigning for him. And then next thing you know, he's got $8,000 that somehow he can pay for himself whenever his phone number he gave me was turned off right there in the middle of the campaign. So you can't keep your phone on, but
you're going to raise $8,000.
You got $8,000 on my hand. So it became very clear. My understanding is that even after that fact, I can't remember who let that cat out of the bag. Somebody let the cat out of the bag, and my understanding is that he was working for Joe's farm, Joe's stable. So he got his employer, got a contract working for Joe, going stable down at the customer farm. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's like, no matter what I do, I'm just screwed. No matter what I do, there's just, you know, that's the frustration I've been experiencing. So then, after that, I'm like, I don't know what to do, because that was like my one and only hope, that Brian would clear these guys out, and then they reset, and then once they lose their power, the plot will go away, and everything will be good.
Well, you know, we're conducting a public integrity investigation. What other things do you know when it comes to, like, Trey, Brian, anybody that's there that they've been involved with?
I mean, I think I just laid out the case for Brian. I have no clue. You guys have to get them. You'd have to subpoena the bank account and figure out where the money is. And I know that's what frustrates me too, because I know there's other cases where probably if you get the same thing, I find something, it doesn't matter who can get it and who wants to do it. And that's what's always scared about me. Like, I stood in the hornet's nest and then nothing happens. I just get
bit by the bee.
I get pain.
That's right.
And, but with him, that was pretty much it. I mean, he was told, I think, I'm confident he was given marching orders not to talk to me, and he didn't. And that's what happened.
Who do you think he had marching orders?
Joe or Dave?
You mentioned Dave earlier that he called you. Did you talk to him at all?
Yesterday, no. I got the voice. I mean,
what'd the voicemail say?
He just said, because you know he came Thursday night, right?
No, don't.
He came out Thursday, last Thursday's meeting. We had the ethics charge, which is one of those bittersweet things. Like, I don't feel that I asked it, but at the same time, what was before us, I don't feel I can rule against it. So I'm glad. Right. So we end up dismissing it because the Attorney General said that we don't have standing to make a finding. Mm-hmm. So they basically came back and said we can't roll state order statute, ethics statute. So we dismissed it all, and so it was an agenda item Thursday night.
And what was the nature of it, against Dave?
No, it was against Dave.
Right.
Okay. It was the one that Don Overton filed.
Okay.
And actually, I'm going to follow up with Don. I haven't talked to him in a while to see if he's really going to pursue it. But
so as of Thursday, it's dead?
At the council level.
Okay.
So Don and Tom Don, but whoever else is going to file, they have to file the state ethics commission. Which, in my opinion, is not going to go anywhere.
Right.
For most of us. The only thing that happens is that you guys are right. That's about fine. And Trey knows that. That's why he wants it at the state level. But so Trey had that item on there. First, what happened, he put it on there because he's just, I mean, he's anti. He's rightfully nervous about it and doesn't like it hanging over his head.
Sure.
And so he put it on there to try to get counsel to say, look, we've waited long enough. We haven't got an answer. Let's go ahead and dismiss it and get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that 2 days before the meeting, we got the official correspondence from the Attorney General's office and from our outside counsel stating the same. So he withdrew his item, and the clerk put on, our outside counsel put on the item, a motion to dismiss. So it's the same thing, but a little bit different.
Right.
So Dave comes out, and it's just him and his youngest daughter, Jackie. And they come in there in the middle of the meeting, sit down, and we have the discussion. First time John comes up and does his thing, whatever. Yeah, he's his opponent, whatever. And then David comes up. There's only two people spoke. David comes up and basically say, shame on this council for never having stood up for Trey Holton. He's the most ethical person up here. It was just hilarious.
You just shake your head and just go, really?
crazy town. I'm like, I understand that he has invested in it because if Trey has anything about this, not prepared to lose, he's going to automatically receive flack from him. He's already feels blackballed. I already hear that from people in the county. That he feels like he can't get a job anywhere because he's tainted right now. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. But that's what several folks have said to me, and they've come out and said, look, I haven't done anything wrong. It's just people put up with stuff, they're coming after me. You know, the investigators are gone. You know, I didn't do anything wrong.
He told us the investigations. He's told a bunch of people were gone, the investigation's
yeah.
over. Clearly, it's not. Sorry.
I
had to throw that in there.
I got you. Andy, it was really funny. Back last fall, just real quick, just side note, and it always stuck out to me. I'm having a briefing. I had to go back and figure out when that briefing was. Because I haven't took as many briefings from Greg.
Right.
But it was one, and he always would bring somebody with him. I think it's supposed to be, always say, oh, yeah, we did say that. That way he can contradict.
This is Andy saying?
So he brings Andy. No, well, Greg brought Andy with him to the briefing. So my briefing was saying Andy. He used to bring Stu, or he'd bring Dave, or he'd bring both of them, or bring Andy.
Right.
He'd bring somebody else. Mm. And probably out of them all, the only one that could really keep me calm, the one that talks to me about me anymore. He doesn't push back as much. Because I'm like, just give me the answers. I mean, he doesn't care. You know, he just doesn't give shit. He doesn't care.
He's ready to fly anyway.
And so somewhere in all this, and we're having a briefing, and we had Patrick Murphy. So it's before we hired Derek Burke. Maybe Derek Burke just wasn't there. Derek Burke was there, I think, that Patrick was just sitting in because he was familiar with the case. And there was some public hearings, and a lot of times I'd ask questions about public hearings. And somewhere in there, I asked a question about, well, where are we at with our... something to do with the grants. I was going to know, where are we at? Did we ever satisfy what FHFC wants from us? Where are we at with this stuff? But somewhere in there, just any answer. He's leaned back like he normally would, nonchalant. He's like, oh, and he just said, I said, well, where are we at with investigation? Have you guys heard anything more about that? Which normally, it really is just what they say, because I know it's really bullshit. And he says, oh, it's all over with. He's like, they've closed the case. And then that's what stuck out to me, because I've heard them say, oh, they're done. They didn't find anything. They've already talked to me. It's a mess. I hear them say, oh, they're already talking to me. It's done. David was out of town. Andy, might have been after David left. Andy speaks up and says, it's closed. I said, wait a second. Andy, it's closed. He's like, it's closed. They've already done it. It's all closed. I'm like, how do you know that? And he said, oh, I just know if he loves me. And then I'm just kind of like, man, either you're really full of shit, or either I just got another reason to be worried. You know what I mean? It's either they really do have that much fun, or I really don't know. But that really stood out to me. They said that, and I'm like, okay, I just let it go. I'm like, I just can't believe it. I just, after my encounter, my encounter with them, I just don't believe it. They must have done something. There's got to be something you guys have busted up. There's got to be something. And then Stuart, I wish I could tell you the idea. I know Stuart did things for Joe, like represent him and Grant. Have you guys talked to Grant yet?
What?
The town manager or whatever, Grant?
Mm-hmm.
like he wanted to get an agricultural exemption on the property.
I've heard about that.
Oh, for Joe. And
Joe did it. They wanted to get.
But I'm not associated with Joe's property, the grant, but I am now.
Yeah.
I got it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
That's
where you lost it.
And then also, I know he appeared something in West Melbourne. I got word back from some other people that basically were pissed off, like, what the hell, school became a layoff in our curve.
Right.
And I don't know what the details of who he was going out exactly for, but he was Stuart was doing these other things outside the city. And he was rolling.
Right.
Growth manager, that's it. One thing I can assume is they told him to, or some other trade.
Right.
And, anyhow, but what was I saying before? So Thursday night, Dave comes and says all these things. Basically, he's just saying, none of you guys stood up for him, and he's just been pulled through the mud, blah, blah, blah. And he's a great guy, basically. He's busting his ass. You guys don't like it. Don't like his ideas. You guys come up with ideas. That type of thing. I'm just like, okay. I did correct him on one thing, which was the stability pledge. And, that's all my apologies. That happened Thursday. Then he called me Friday. And then, Sunday night. He called me yesterday. The only thing he said was just to call him back. Matter of fact, it was just really weird.
Can you play?
Yeah, 1 second.
Hey, we're going to take a break and go to the sports room real quick.
I'm sorry. I know that
no,
I'm stopping, and
no,
I'm trying to...
No, that's I'll tell you what, thank
I'm,
you very
I'm
much for being
be,
here.
Yeah.
Well, you know you got a lot going on here.
I'm trying to be as tough as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I can't believe I ever not slightly compromised myself and left him aside.
No, that's fine, but you've been honest with us, which is the rules.
I'm a voice now. Right, yeah, so I'm going to look at a truck and looking at mortgages and things.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of calls. Give him a little taste of it, but I'm not, maybe I speak too much, but I I try to be open to talking to people. I say, look, you know, if you believe everything, but there's a reason, you know, there's a scripture that says that, you know, if you righteous man will bring, you know, give justice to a city. What was it?
He calls on us, says, is that the one you
have? Well, just a couple righteous men can exalt a city. I said, and then, you know, and evil will do the opposite. I said, sitting upon a day, they don't have a position for a reason. And unfortunately, I mean, I don't think it was my fault that I touched you. I think I had my heart was all in the right place the whole time. I like to say that Carrie's story, and that his always was. Political things can change. Like, I don't have a problem. You know, you can have whatever political stance you want. I just want to know that I can trust that one knows that. And that the city is not being, you know, I always felt that Dave was shaking down people on third floor. There's too many.
Let's expand on that. So the third floor
refers to what? It just seemed to be that there was police would come around, and
such as
just the people wanted a permit, and they're told to go up to see Dave. And no, and these people asked, you know, essentially it always seemed to be clear that they were being asked to get Christine money. No, can't be money. That's the thing. I don't know.
Okay.
What I always would get from folks is that when they're telling me a story, they don't want their names out there. A lot of times it's hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seemed believable. You know what I mean? It wasn't, it's not, again, it's one of the things where, what do I do when I don't really have anything?
Right.
Play my heart, that's all it does.
Mm-hmm.
I always told them, I said, this is, to me, economic development is, you do things in a fair way, and you set up clear expectations for when things will be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's one of the things that I want to push this summer, is it to be like automatic. If it's 10 days for a permit, for a certain permit, then you automatically do it 10 days. But the other side of that is that people have to feel that it's fair. And there's not going to be somebody who's going to automatically get rejected, or somebody's going to get a special benefit based on privileges, like that doc is with
the one father and son.
Leo. Leo's son.
Yeah, Leo's conversation.
I know Leo's close to Dave, because you know, Dave basically told me, like, look, you know, he kind of told me, like, when you get to know people, they take care of you. And he was talking about how, like, Leo came out full. For all of his concrete, for his slab, for his son to throw a basketball go up. And he didn't charge me anything for it. He just came out and did it, that type of thing.
Interesting. And then they gave him a contract?
Well, the
dock usage extension or something.
Yeah, he got the dock extension. It should have been 250 feet. They got 500 feet. And pissed off everybody in the community down there on the waterfront. But that concrete, I believe, was put in before he was on. He had his cow. Me and wife were there, I guess. But, that would have came a year or two before.
Yeah.
The dog.
I
got
you. Yeah. So, but he gave it to him for free. So, what was Leo's last name again?
Italian. Lucy or something like that? I can't think of it.
That's fine. If it comes fast, you just give me
But you know, because if you look at the doc issue, it's the same way. That became a 4-day issue. Leo.
Okay.
I went there and started with a B.
A D?
A B. I went there and started with a B.
I thought it was a B.
D?
Yeah.
It gets close, man.
I have a B. We've been on a bit of a hiatus for 5 months, so we're trying to get back and pick up steam, so we have to refresh ourselves. You're our first refresher, isn't that right?
So, now, just to go back over some key points, if you had to guess what they wanted from you, why they would have leveraged you, what specific things do you think it was?
The only two things that I ever guessed is that they either thought that I heard or knew something that I didn't know. Or because they wanted to keep control of the city council. I mean, with the city manager, they're controlling contracts. I can tell you this, I remember Joe mentioning one time that he was pissed off that Lee Spellman, I don't understand how he said it. I don't know if it was Dave. Because it's my impression. Joe's not the brightest.
Mm-hmm.
I think what happened is Dave told Joe how when city manager for Suhan. Lee Feldman.
Lee Feldman.
Okay, was known to be very, very brilliant, but very smart guy. And that, and I think what it was is that Dave was basically the same experience with Christine, what Christine and I took a few years in council, that Lee had wrote a contract just so that Gallows could get it. And so Joe was bitching me, like, look how tough they are. You know, they did it just for them. They need to open up this contract so everybody can compete. You know, my brother's up here, and my brother's up here at the tire shop, and he's, you know, he could do it for cheaper than city money, and so forth. Now, did that?
Well,
I've always.
Who wanted that done?
And now, well, he wasn't telling me he wanted.
Yeah.
I wasn't the catalyst.
Yeah.
Dave and Greg were the catalyst for how that was done. But he was just. But he was saying that. But that's. I'm always looking for the input behind the scenes, right?
Sure.
No, I'm looking for, because I'm trying to figure out what's underneath. And that's not what he said. What he said is that they're looking how corrupt they were. They did all this, and they kept a good person, a good local business like my brother's business.
Uh-huh.
But he never said that he wanted me to do anything.
Yeah.
He's just saying that Lee Feldman's corrupt, but everybody else, you know, that things are better to make everybody happy. It'd be better for the state. He was trying to build to my sense of physical restraint. And so I remember saying that one time, and then I remember bugging Dave, and I have no clue when this, it's hard to remember when this was. And I can't remember, I want to say this was at the end of 15, before that thing happened to Joe and Stuart. And man, I wish you guys would talk to me a few years ago. Because I would have told you everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something that happened, and I said to Dave, I said, what did Joe do? He's like, oh, he has a few small businesses. I'm like, okay, well, it's kind of weird. I knew he had the Puerto Rican market. I had bought a vehicle from the now Babcock there. I don't know what it's called. I want to say, I don't know, either the other day, Brevard Motors or something like that.
Okay.
And I remember when I bought the car there, which was a junk car, the girl that was doing the finance, I was running for city council at that time, and I had no clue who Joe was.
Yeah.
But she mentioned to me that, oh, you're running for city council, are you friends with the mayor? And I remember, like, I know who he is, but I wasn't really on his side. I was really opposed to him, so I just tried to make the conversation right away. And he's like, oh, our owner is really good friends with him. And I think later on I figured out that was Joe Agro. Joe Agro happened to be the owner of that business, and a partner in that business, I believe. And I have no clue. So I can't remember if I ever did the, I might have done some research in that. I don't know. There's been a lot of stuff I was researching that just haven't touched it in a long time. But anyhow, but he said he has like a lawn company business, and his father's doing that tire business. I don't really know. So he's like, I'm like, really? Well, how, and I can't remember if at that point I knew that Joe had been through a bankruptcy and reported no income in LA. But I'm basically, I'm like, how do you get this really nice property down and I'm like, that doesn't
make sense.
Yeah. It's like, really? I mean, it doesn't seem like a great business plan. And I was like, what does it really do? And Dave, you know, it was a back and forth, and this is what pisses me off, saying this stuff. It's all his stuff. But you guys understand that I finally said something like, oh, well, I'll never say it again. I'll never repeat it, but I think he might money launder or something like that, but I really don't know. And I'm like, well, it would make sense. Yeah, I mean, probably my wife, but I'm like, that would make sense, but then it's kind of like dismissing. I want to say I went back and talked to Harry about that, but I'm like, again, I was one of Holy Calvin, and Harry basically saying, I think Harry dismissed it like I was just, because I pushed that, asked the question like 3 or 4 times, that it was like,
right.
But anyhow, it was always like dismissive for that. And so there's that interaction with Interact. I mean, maybe about what it's trying to do with contracts. The general fact that they want the power and control through the city manager's office. That's it.
And they felt that you were going to push back on the city manager.
Just 1 second. Hey, Jeff. What's up? I'm still at lunch. I'm still at my meeting.
What's
And so, I mean, that's generally what it's all been.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that there's been other people who are supposed to say that they're private investigators looking for other folks who are involved. Well, I guess you could say involved. I mean, the people in the city who have noticed things from a glance.
Yeah.
About Joe, and that he's known about property. And I'm like, at this point, I've been going to go. So.
Alright, so can you tell me who any of the people are that told you?
Am I required?
Well, it would help us.
I understand. I can't remember what his name is. I know him when I see him at the council meeting. Maybe I recognize if I see it.
Okay.
And he hired a private investigator, or are you talking about the private
investigator? The private investigator.
Okay.
Because he was somebody approached to run against him. But then, like, I already knew what they're going to do. They're going to go ask 10 people, then, you know, get them all hooked on the idea, and then figure out which one's going to do their bidding. That's their MO, I think. And this is one of the guys who saw the writing on the wall and
yeah.
backed away. Which makes sense given his profession and so forth. I think Dave likes to target people in the military because there's this feeling that he's not a sergeant. You know the rank. I was never good at that.
He ever mention anything about how Joe was facilitating his prostitution and stuff?
No, he just said that he's kind of felt like the same like me. It's like, you know, you see him riding with somebody in the middle of a compound, why? You know, compound me myself.
Yeah.
You know, but what the hell are you doing that? You don't love that, man. What are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
But it's not his to investigate, so he's good there. So, you know, let you guys do your job. I don't know if I'm, I don't know what I'm giving
fine.
To really help you guys.
Actually, you've given some honest good information.
Hilda Mendoza Stringer.
That's
the woman.
Okay.
Let's see what's,
do you have a number for
it? I got something. It's been a couple years old, but three, 4 years old, but we'll see. The email held up for Palm Bay at Gmail. That's probably the fun out of that campaign.
Yeah.
321-442-4750. You know, what I would suggest is do on thinking about obviously the intent of what we're looking at. You know, we can't direct you to call Dave back or any of that stuff like that, but if you choose to call him back, we'd appreciate you letting us know what the information that he gives to us.
Quite frankly, I was like, you know what, it's just weird he did the day before then. Generally, I'm like, I just want to hear what's going on. I mean, curiosity killed the cat there, right? And I've been slowly learning to stay out of it, keep my mouth shut, and just let everything else process. As well, me too. I'm happy to.
You know, he initiated contact with you. If you want to call him back, that would be good just to see what's going on in his world.
Jet lag. That is no. How are you? What's your relationship with like the mayor and Trey and Brian now and all those guys?
Look, I just feel bad for Brian. Because I think he's going through some of what I probably went through, but I don't think he's ready for it. I think he's probably, I have a feeling he's probably scared out of his mind. Just, this is all completely conjecture.
Yeah, sure.
I try to give him a bit of a doubt. I mean, before Stu left last year, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, he walked into a meeting drunk. And I found out from employees, a bunch of people saw them throughout the day. You know, the people, they know who Joe is, they don't know who Joe is. And but I know it was Joe and Stuart had been out giving them the drink that Mexican joint down there.
Right.
And so anyhow, getting started. And he walked in drunk, and it was just really odd. And I sat there. First, I'm like, this is what I need to do. I need to freaking cut this head off. I need to do a group of call him out right here.
Yeah.
But then, honestly, my heart got heavy. I'm like,
matter,
I don't think that's the right. I don't think that's the right thing to do. And either I'll let God, I'll let everybody else figure out. I'm just going to sit here and it's going to be obvious. Anybody who's in the audience knew. Us up there, I knew because I could smell it. I mean, sometimes I smell a tray, but he's not just falling. No, so he had a drink. He's not falling over drunk.
Yeah.
And
you still communicate with Brian much though? Limited means. What about Trey? Limited. Eyes, by heart.
I don't have a good thing. I mean, I don't have a good thing to say. And I doubt he has a good thing to say about me. I know last summer I met with Harry to talk about what's going to happen in the campaign stuff. And basically, maybe it wasn't last summer. Maybe it's been less than that time period. But anyhow, all my time, especially with the base, we now have a new 6 week old. It's been, my brain, my memory's been like,
your baby,
oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Baby,
yeah,
baby brain. Yeah. Yeah. But sometimes, a little while ago, at least 6 months ago, we had lunch with Harry, and kind of talked about campaign stuff. Tom John was in already. And of course, a lot of people got his right real early. And basically the message from Harry is that, hey, are you guys going to be peaceful with one another or not? I need to support both of you. Even though I know he doesn't really want to support me, but at least it's holding status quo, holds what he feels he has leverage over Greg. He feels that Greg does what he wants him to do. And basically, I told him, I said, I think Trey's gone. I don't see, he barely got in there the first time. I told you guys that the first time, and I always believe that if we don't go in there and do the right thing, and at least doesn't look like we have, you're done for. And I always said, if we go in there and do the right thing, we'll be okay. Just stay out of trouble. You know, it's kind of with my philosophy. And do what we all agreed we're going to do. I think we're going to be fine. It's going to be a little bit hectic trying to implement some of it. There's going to be a lot of kickback, but we'll get through this and everything's going to be good. And, of course, his advice, again, was the pew, boardroom, and barroom. And that's when I started coming, like, don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so Harry, we had that meeting, and I was like, you never call me, you never call me. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you think this is. Like, are you the godfather now? I mean, I got to call you. I mean,
just the name.
So I think he started getting that mentality. It was like Dave was rubbing off on maybe. And I didn't talk to him again for months. And I talked, and even after meetings. Same thing with Trey. Well, we'll see what happens, Evan. If I didn't call out Brian at that meeting, that was pretty early last year because he was still there. So that was maybe like March, maybe.
Right.
And then I'm like, crap. And I'm watching everything Trey was doing. And I'm seeing the grand stuff. And this is like the whole thing I've been advocating. These guys are going to screw up, whether they're doing it, whether it's incompetence or corruption. They're screwing up the city. This is what I've been claiming about for 3 years. Like, it's finally coming to fruition. And so I'm like, and then I let Brian go. I'm like, I just can't do this again. I mean, it's crazy and such a hypocrite. And it's right around that time we found out you guys. Somebody was around, right? When I was watching. And I'm like, that just makes sense. And I was like, it's just a matter of time. I knew it was a matter of, like, that's a good thing that they've shown up, but, you know, I can't just let these people off the hook, because who knows how long it's going to take.
Right.
I mean, and I got to try to keep a straight face for all the time. And so I said, you know, next time that they have the opportunity, I'm not going to let it go. And that's why, you know, you fast forward to May, I think it was May, whenever he walked out of that meeting. And I actually took a picture right after he did the whole thing with this electronic policy and the corruption thing and the civility stuff, we went after the mayor, and we're up at an executive session, and him and Harry take the camera out like this. And I'm like, you have no need. We're going to executive session. Everything is within this meeting.
Yeah.
The lawyers are giving this to us now. They're not giving it to us through our phones. And here you are, I mean, hypocrites. And then Harry's joining in. And I'm like, I can't. I mean, there's certain pettiness to it, but I'm like, I can't believe you're doing it. So, I mean, I even took a picture. I got a picture in here of them playing on the phone. They didn't. It made the noise. I was like, oh, crap. But they're so into what they're doing. Nobody even heard.
Gotcha.
And so I'm like, I got to. I thought I was going to bring that out. Yeah, I use it. The next thing you know, Trey did what he was doing. He was sitting there the whole meeting playing on his other stuff. And he told me, you know, Harry told me afterwards, why'd you do that? You know, Trey said, I told Trey he needed to stop talking, and he was actually being quiet the whole meeting. I said, yeah, I noticed he was being quiet. Thinking, why did you go mess with him? I'm like, I wasn't messing with him. He's over here.
Yeah.
And I have to, the way if you set up, the way you have to look, there's no me avoiding it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And of course, I know he's texting staff members and so forth. Now, whether that's nefarious or not, whether he's texting lobbyists or developers or that type of thing about during the hearing, I know for a fact he has staff members to coordinate to try to argue against me or try to do whatever he wants done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called him out, and after that really,
I'm
the bully.
Yeah, that lit the fuse, no doubt.
And I haven't done it again yet, but it's not really my... It's in my nature to try to figure it out and try to get rid of the things that I thought were wrong. It's not in my nature just to call it. I don't want to put a black eye on the city. At this point, this is what I tell people. We're such a black eye. By the way, here's one thing I want to talk to you guys about. You guys know I asked for that external financial audit.
The SHIP audit?
Well, what happened is that SHIP asked us to do that.
Yeah.
And we're trying to coordinate to make sure that's being done right for the
okay.
And I said, well, we need to look at HUD too.
Okay.
And it kind of was just gut feeling that there's something that they did with that type of thing. HUD probably wanted to do it better. I don't know, it was just gut.
Right.
So I'm like, but either way, we just need to put it all in one bundle.
Yeah.
The audits might as well get everything together so it's going to be more cost effective. And then I kind of assumed that HUD was going to ask for it eventually too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get people proactive.
Okay.
And I'm like, this is what I've been wanting. Like, I finally got like enough leverage that there's other agencies coming down that can defend me, saying, let's hold these people accountable.
Yeah.
Well, as you guys know, I don't know if you guys know, but as you guys probably know, somebody at East Greg Link, I believe Dave and Trey and Mary, all contacted Randy Fine. And Randy Fine did the whole audit. The attorney, the auditor general.
Mm-hmm.
And so he called for a state audit. And basically, Andrew told me to back off. And then he kind of had to back off in his position and say, let the state, and if the FDLE wants anything there, they'll,
mm-hmm.
if they can coordinate with FHFC and have it, slid into the record set, the parameters. And I said, okay. They just said, okay. I kind of trust Andrew. My assumption is either you guys got him to something really good, or he's the only person that's up there to clean. And that's what you guys.
Well, HUD came down and looked at the records. You know that, right?
I know that they were. I know somebody was questioning. I have no clue who's actually getting it. But if anything, we actually have any holes in our system that way.
So there was follow up on that.
Has that been clear? Is that good?
I can't disclose that. I can say there's been follow up on that.
Is there? Well, here's my concern. I asked for that. I know they purposely went to manipulate these things. I got hearing to a corner that I felt wasn't a day after he voted for it and traded in. And then they got Manny Fine. I know for a fact they talked to him to do that. And
did they tell you they talked to him?
No, I just got too much. I just know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of the things. I just know they did. And then Manny said, and Randy denied that everybody did, but he basically acknowledged that, they called me and told me X, Y, and Z is happening. I just want to make sure everything's clean. No, I don't think he's David Nolan to go out there. Okay?
Yeah.
But I think that these people help me, and
you
want me to do out of the city? I'll do out of the city. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that audit now came back between our deputy city attorney, that and one of the staff members on that meeting took notes, gave notes back to us when the AG came in, the auditor general came in. And it said that there's not been any type of financial accounting or audit.
Okay.
And I'm like, I called Randy Fine at his meeting the day of and said, please make sure you include the fine.
Okay.
I understand you want to go over charter issues with Andrew Landon, the city attorney, and with the mayor. And it's all in this political stuff and whatever. I'm staying out of that. I'm not trying to fight you on that. But I just want to make this for the financial issue because I really feel that the citizens deserve to see a clean slate until we actually do something. I don't think anybody, even if you guys were to do a couple things and leave, I still think that this city is, I feel that the city will still be underneath that cloud of, did they get everything? That's what I really feel like is important. I'll be honest with you, though. I found this out about a month ago. I confronted Randy at a club meeting and asked him about it. He said, I thought, what are you talking about? It doesn't fit on it. It's everything. And I said, no, it's not. I got the notes back from P20, and he said specifically it's not financial. He goes, okay, I'll go back and work on it. It's kind of one of those things where, is he really going to do it, or is he protecting his friend?
Right.
So my other thing in the back of my mind is he being told, or is he not being told something, but Otto Jones been told something?
Right.
And am I doing the wrong thing if I pursue it publicly? Because whenever we had money set aside for it last year, we eventually pulled it for some flashing lights and small ball politics, right?
Right.
They pulled the funding. And then I got them to agree that, well, the Auditor General doesn't include it, you guys are going to refund this, right? So we can get a clear answer for the citizens. And here we are. They didn't do it. Not that I've kind of been kind of hesitant of pulling that trigger, but once you contact me a couple weeks ago, I was like, well, maybe it's something I should just be patient and, you know, ask you guys if that'd be a problem if I bring that back up.
That would be part of your job and what you think would be the right thing to do.
Yep. It's not going to hurt having a second set of eyes, a third set of eyes, a fourth set of eyes going over financial records.
You guys are going to come up in that conversation, and we're going to hear a bunch again saying, well, we already had HUD come down here, and everything's clear. They've reissued our money, and our grant funding for the next year, and everything's good. You know, that's. I know that I'm going to get a bunch of kids. They're going to turn on their words from this a few months ago, but... That's so kind of a political question. To me, it's right. It's just right, not because...
Did HUD do a detailed forensic examination of them, or did they do a review? So, I'm saying if they did a review, it'd probably be warranted to do a forensic examination. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, it just scares me because to me, it's just the right thing to do.
Then do it.
It might not work politically, but there's been a lot of times where I've kind of fought what I thought was a good fight,
right,
without gaining much.
So, one more person to ask you about before we get rolling and get you home to your baby. What do you think about Andrew Miller?
I think that he's very conscious of his ambition to want to be county.
Okay.
I think that he has tried to very delicately play two sides. A lot of times, you know, talking about Mayor and I, or Mayor and Trey, or me and Trey, or you know, different sides in general.
I got
all
good numbers.
Oh, well. I won't. Thank you.
I want to say I trust him, but I have a feeling there's been a couple times where he's tried his side.
That's right.
But... I think that I wouldn't say to himself. But then again, maybe I'm a naive fool, you know.
Probably so.
I'll bet you can remember that. I'm not really, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's never painful. Yeah.
Get my card to it. Hang on to that. I thought you could pay on that, though. It should be a scanner. Yeah, that's a copper. And you can tell by this thin, sleek physique that I just need an ancient table and ancient table.
Now we got pay.
Think about what we've talked about, though, and there again, the conversation between the three of us is something that's, you know, confidential, though. You're not allowed to talk to anybody else about it. You don't want to get them jackpot about all that crap. But, you know, like you said, the same thing if you, if you feel like you, like, you know, return Dave's call and you want to share the nature of the call, great. You know, a question I would have for you is when we're looking at this type of stuff, if we wanted to continue having dialogue with you and potentially have you work as an informant for us, would you be willing to do that? And basically how that works is basically document you, those files. Like we do a confidential informant packet that's done, you know, it's sent to Tallahassee, it's actually locked in an actual safe, and you're referred to in all the reports to confidential report 1234. And just for whatever it's worth, there are several 1234s in this case. So, all right, could it come out in depositions way, 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 way down the road? There's always that possibility. But I wouldn't, this isn't like you're dealing with a bunch of Colombian hitmen. So, just food for thought. Think about it.
I mean, I'm here so something, so.
Just think about it.
There's going to be no situation probably where it's PI number 5 and you don't figure out from the context of the information who it is.
I don't know. I've worked dozens of sources and less than 1% of evidence that we're able to get enough done without it.
But I mean, that's the big thing. I mean, how connected is Jeff?
He's not connected through us.
How connected is Dave?
Well, he can't maintain his job, so he's up doing work on a dirt farm. So,
is that true? Is he actually getting money out the back door as well?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe.
Or even one of those landowners.
Yeah. Well, he's going to work for one of them now.
He's
going to work for one of them now. Back on and. I wouldn't, if it rolls reverse, I wouldn't be overly concerned.
I went looking for security cameras for my vehicle and things like that. It's kind of like I got so overwhelmed. Well, I'm not knowing what's really going to do any good. And, you know, it's funny because I went through the list. It's really funny, you know. And Scott Ellis knows I've been throwing the horns about that. He makes the joke that he's banging hard. That's an example of one reason why I do this question on that. And I don't know if either where you guys have met him, but you guys know
him
so far.
Yeah. Met him several times.
Yeah, you know, but on an individual level, you know, there's no other elected official can be right. Mm-hmm. He's just a pit bull and everything. But, you know, it's funny, I'm like, what would they do to me if I'm really screwing something up and I don't know, without exposing every single detail I have. But he gets the gist of it, he's not stupid. And I said, what are they going to do to me? He kind of went through all the things. I'm like, you know, I couldn't admit what I meant to you guys today about the one thing, but I'm like, at that point, I was like, that's not happening. So that's rolled out. The lemon thing is rolled out. That's never been anywhere close to it.
Right.
Money, but that's not going to happen. And I said, the other thing is just plant, and that's just plant it. I mean, assuming you guys are telling the truth on that, watching these cop shows and make up something. You guys don't really need to make up anything for me to open up to you. But I'm like, that's the only thing that has a cool thing. What can I do about it? And if the chief is compromised in any way, I'm not saying that he really, maybe he just felt uncomfortable and he had it, just shared it. I have no clue. But, you know, assuming it's one, I'll think it's one person. I'll think it's one on person.
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do?
That's just
kind of like that. Because that's why I went through down the list. I still wonder if I should if there's something that's recommended for that situation for my car. That way it shows.
Let's see if it's going to track on
that. Huh?
You want a detector to see if there's a tracker on it?
I just want video to show what I've done, and if I ever got pulled over, say, let's go back and do the tape and see what. Remember, we have physical evidence to support that this has already been an attempt. This wouldn't be anything. I mean, I'm not saying go run drugs because you'd get away with it. But in the same token, you know, there is some precedent that's occurred that has been documented in law enforcement.
Do they know that you know?
No.
Because I know that Dave went to the grand jury, right? It came out.
No, he never went to the grand jury.
Dave is spinning ridiculous. If Dave lips are moving, there's a good chance he's lying. So.
Every bad.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
just think about it.
I don't know. I'm here to help. I don't know what I can do with these other folks.
If you happen to remember the specific name of the guy with the dog, and the name of the guy,
I've got the dog today.
Okay.
Yep, that and Leo's information. But yeah, he could, like I say, the PI. It'd be interesting to see what he's dug up on the site. But sometimes they're they don't have the challenges we have on doing stuff.
I almost feel bad because I could tell, but I asked them, actually I asked them directly, like, you guys can talk to them, and you talk to the FBI, they just know they're saying, you should go talk to them.
Right.
And I don't know if you avoided the question, but we went in a different direction with the conversation, and he's Haitian, so I don't know if it was like, sometimes the conversation goes like that, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I think he's Haitian. He's a savage people with me. That's one of the reasons why maybe I've trusted him a little bit. But
he's a what?
He's a savage keeper. Seventh day.
Okay.
So he's a Seventh Day Adventist.
Are you a Messianic Jew?
I'm like Messianic.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not Jewish, but we're that's the closest part.
Did you ever hear Edelman from the Patriots? They were interviewing him, and he's Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy goes, so I understand, you know, how does it feel being like the only Jewish guy that's on there? So you're Jewish, right? He goes, well, I'm Jew-ish. he's a character, man.
Yeah.
I went with the riot.
That sounds like a
scary
side moment.
Oh, yeah. That's a scary side moment. Yeah, I'm Jew-ish.
My best friend's
Thank you.
Yeah.
Not so young man, but almost young man.
I know, but there's anything that I can do to help myself.
Yeah,
to protect myself. Yeah, I still admit I don't care, but that's the comments I can't say.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
I don't think we're at that. You're in the same arena that you have to. I'm not saying don't use caution.
I think
one
really emotional moment. You look at Brandon Hall.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people get emotionally attached to it, so it's kind of.
Don't take care of your family.
Care of your students. Okay. I would never tell my wife. She would do
that. Yeah.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
So it is 6:05. So I think we will conclude.
Oh, good. Okay.